Hallelujah. Let's put our hands together as Evangelist Doug Echols comes and speaks to us this morning.
Amen, amen. Praise God. Well, it is great to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Let me get a few things I got over here laying on the organ. Praise God. I'm so glad to be in the house of the Lord and want to say it is always a privilege to be at Fountain of Life. And I don't know, but these guys are blowing it up, aren't they? I was at the doctor's office. My mother's 85. She had her knee replaced, but she's having a well visit. I don't know what that means. I don't even know why you go when you're well. Okay, because we took 2.5 hours, and all I could say was, well. All right? But we're there, and we had nothing to do while we're waiting, and so I started showing my mother videos of her kids, grandkids, you know, that she hadn't seen. And then I went to a video of Jackie playing the organ. And that one that got so many hits on YouTube around the world. I don't know if you knew that. I think there's like 50,000 views of her playing the organ. And it's like the amateur hour video. What would happen if she did a real one, you know? That'd be awesome. Just throwing it out there. But like some of the greatest gospel people in America got a hold of the video, and they're wondering who she was. Okay, so anyway, I showed it to my mom, and my mother started crying. She goes, you know, I haven't been able to go to church for a while. She goes, those people there don't know how blessed they are. And, you know, the truth is, you're blessed here. These are my friends, but I'm going to tell you something. I have many friends I would not go to their church. These are my friends I'd go to their church. Amen. You're just a little too far from an airport. Amen. But I'll tell you what, I believe the Lord's going to do great things this week, and I believe He wants to do something tonight. Be out tonight, all right? We're going to have a great time. I believe the Lord has given me a word for tonight, and Monday and Tuesday, I'm just glad I'm preaching first. And then Wednesday, you all know Courtney McBath, but it's going to be good. And I know that Brother Jim Raley, he preaches in some of the greatest places in America, but I think you're going to enjoy his preaching a lot, all right? So make sure you're out. Praise God. I have a few CDs out there of preaching. Pick some of them up. I don't know. I think I'm getting ready to go to a different format, okay? So these may be the last CDs I make, and I'm going to go to something else, okay? So some of you that are still playing an 8-track, you're going to be in trouble when I go to the next format, all right? But I have some CDs out there of preaching. Pick those up. I have the book I've written on the Holy Ghost, and then I have 2 music CDs I brought. One is mine, and mine are all old songs. I sing old country, okay? So if you don't like that, do not buy it, okay? We're not Walmart. I don't let you return it if you don't like it, okay? But these songs, 5 old songs, 5 new, they just sound old. And then I brought something with me. One of my friends, Vep Ellis, he is, his father used to lead singing for Oral Roberts. Vep Ellis's dad wrote songs, and I'm going to read to you some of them. Have Faith in God, I've Got a Right to Praise the Lord. I Can't Go Under for Going Over. And then he Get on the Happy Side of Living. They're old songs, okay? They're real old school songs, but the boys, which they're older than me, have a quartet and they all sing on here. He gave these to me. Now, they're very good if you like that kind of music, but I give them to anybody that makes any donation to missions whatsoever, okay? So they'll be out there after the service, and we take cash, credit, debit, check, or whatever you want to do, all right? Praise God. Everybody still breathing? I know some of you are so used to me taking an offering, you can't breathe until that's over, but it's okay to breathe. We're not going to do anything else, all right? Stand with me today. I'm so glad to be in the house of the Lord. I want to read in Matthew chapter 24 in verse number 3, one verse. And I've read this verse many times, and I've preached from this verse, but I'm going to actually go a little bit different direction, so hang with me if you will. But let's read this one verse here that is on the screen, verse number 3 of Matthew 24. It says, "As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?'" How many know that this goes back a long time, but people are still interested in apocalyptic events? They were interested in what was going to happen and when Jesus would come. What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Let's all pray together and let's believe the Lord to do great things. Father God, in the name of Jesus, again, we ask that the Word of God would forcefully penetrate every heart that is here today. We declare there is no bondage here. We declare open heavens in the name of Jesus. Freedom in the name of the Lord. There's some here today, Lord, that do not know you. There's others that are backslidden and others that have sin in their life. I pray by the Holy Spirit, make it hot in here for them today, that they would be drawn to Jesus, that they will not leave this place like they have come in your mighty name. And Lord, we ask today that you do great and mighty things. Lord, we're expecting big, we're believing big, and we're looking to you, our big God, to do great things in your mighty name of Jesus today. We thank you, Lord, for the gifts of the Spirit that are in operation today, that we may profit by their manifestation in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody shout, tell your neighbor and two or three others, no limits. Come on, tell somebody, no limits. And you can be seated today. No limits, praise God. Hallelujah. How many know people will put limits on you, but God, He takes the limits off. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord for that. But the disciples came to Jesus. They asked him two questions, really, that I want to talk about. What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And I know that people want to know what is happening in the world. And I know that some people are very interested when the end will be. We know that right now there's been some changes going on in the world. And even in North Korea, we are hearing now that the president there that has the weird haircut is now opening the borders for the gospel to come in. Now, I don't know what that means to you, but it means to me that the end is near, because this gospel of the kingdom shall go to all the world and then the end shall come. Now, I know that what I am preaching about the coming of the Lord, there are some people that will call this destruction theology. And I don't really understand that, because the Bible says we're to comfort one another with what I'm preaching on today. But I saw an article in the probably the leading Christian magazine that a lady, she began to say that we don't need preaching like I'm giving today. She said we need good news and we should not talk of the rapture and sermons like I'm going to preach today. And then she goes on to say the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So she contradicts herself, and then she says, and I know what 1 Thessalonians says, and I know what Revelation says, and I know what Jude says, but folks, I'm going to tell you something. I have nothing to stand on without the Word of God. I don't care what you believe, especially when I looked her up and she had about 123 friends on Facebook. You should not be writing an article for everyone to read if you don't have any influence. There's a reason you shouldn't have influence when you don't believe the Word of God. And what I'm trying to tell you is, you can't believe everything that you read on social media. Can I get a better amen in here? There are some people that do not check out the source, but I'm going to tell you, I believe we ought to check everything out with this source right here. Somebody say amen. Now, Jesus gives the answer to the disciples' question. I'm going to skip down to verse number 7 of Matthew 24, and he says this, "For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains." Now, I was there when my children were born, and it looked very painful. And when my wife was screaming out at the beginning, it looked really painful. But I'm going to tell you, my kids all have big heads like me. And I'm going to tell you, when that came out, it looked really painful. The beginning was pretty bad, but the rest was even worse. Okay, I know I'm not supposed to talk like that in church, but I feel like I just lost half of the crowd. Some of you say, "You never had me." Some of you are still playing a game on your phone. I can see it, all right? Don't act like we don't know, all right? But the Bible says these are all but the beginning of the birth pains, the early pains. The early pains show us what is coming, and the early is better than the later. But we know that earthquakes are increasing. In the state that I live in, we are having unprecedented number of earthquakes in Oklahoma. Like tornadoes was not enough. So now we're having earthquakes. And they're blaming it on fracking, but I will tell you, you cannot go by what people say. You've got to go by what the Word of God says. The Word says these things are going to happen in the last days. We know about the volcanoes that are happening in Hawaii. We know about firsthand, I was in Guatemala when they had just had the volcanoes there that wiped out many, many villages. And we know today in this world there is lawlessness all over our country, and there is violence on every hand. Now, when we go looking around the world, we know that Iran right now is flexing their muscle, especially in the Persian Gulf. They're trying to shut that off from all the rest of the world, and they're doing most of what they do against the United States of America, and we also know they are against Israel. We know while we are sitting around on our hands and talk, they are doing what they want. We know another two words that are kind of interesting. We know the words Boko Haram. And these, we know that around the world, we hear about in Nigeria and in the Muslim nations, these words pop up. And that word Boko Haram, those words mean non-Islamic education is a sin, or Western education is a sin. Now, I don't agree with what they are saying, but I will tell you there probably is some things being taught in our schools that is a sin. But I'm going to leave that alone, all right? But the Bible tells us that perilous times shall come with people doing strange things. We find in the Bible that Jesus said that he will come again in John 14. We know that the angels confirmed it in Acts chapter 1. They said the same Jesus that you see going away, he will come again in like manner. And then we have the apostles that prophesied that Jesus was coming back. They said the same Jesus, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. We know that Jesus is coming soon. In Matthew 24, Jesus says the days of Noah, as the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. If you read your Bible, the days of Noah, we know the wickedness of man was great. We know the thoughts of the heart were evil continually. I will tell you that I have never lived a day in my life where there is more evil things taking place. The things that people do to other human beings is irreprehensible. We do not understand the mind of the wickedness that some people have. How could they do these things. But when I read about Noah, what I like in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, in all that was going on around him, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Somebody say, thank God for grace. It's amazing today. Amen. If Noah found grace, then you and I can find grace to live in the days that we are living today. We find in the Bible that two will be in the field and one will be taken and the other left. We find as well two women will be working at the mill. The one will be taken and the other left. Now, I could talk about the coming of the Lord, the whole message. And I could continue on this route, but I want to go a little bit of different direction, if you'll allow me today. I want to talk about the time period directly after the coming of the Lord. And I hear some people immediately when you say, well, after the rapture, I won't be here. Well, I'm going to ask you, are you sure of that? Because I believe that there'll be some that are surprised that they will be left behind. So I want to talk to you about the time period directly after the coming of the Lord. More specifically, what happens if you, your family, or your friends miss the rapture, the coming of the Lord? What happens today if you miss the rapture? So I'm going to address two audiences. Obviously, many of you are sitting here live or at least breathing. So I'm going to address the live audience, but there is an audience that will listen by live stream, maybe by MP3 or by YouTube message later. I want to address them as well. I encourage you to get the message that I'm going to preach today and leave it behind. Leave it for those that are left behind. It may be your friends and family's only hope. Wow. And to those listening live, I ask you to seriously consider the negative consequences of being left behind, and please consider committing your life to Christ if you have not already done so. This could very well be the most important message some will ever hear. At the conclusion of the message, I urge you to respond to the altar invitation with others. Now listen, after the coming of the Lord, the rapture of the spiritually ready. Everybody say the ready. The tribulation begins. What happens when the tribulation begins? Let me tell you what I believe is going to happen. That the stock market will collapse. And there will be an immediate food shortage. We know that if you are hearing the news right now, there are people that have already beat you to Walmart over this storm that we don't even know is going to happen or not. Is that true? It's funny how we'll prepare for a storm that we're not sure is coming or not, but we will not prepare for the coming of the Lord. Now I'm preaching better than your amen in here. There will be something else that will happen, and it may not affect Elizabeth City like it would a major city, but public transportation will be halted. 911 will no longer take calls, and many police and firemen will be absent because they were ready to meet the Lord. Schools will shut down, supermarkets will close, and I believe that mass murders will spread and rioting will turn to looting very quickly. Millions of Christians will be missing, including doctors and lawyers and farmers and teachers and nurses and firemen and policemen. Are you listening to me today? I don't know if I should have put lawyers in that list, but surely there's a lawyer that's saved. I'm messing around, all right? I'm just messing around. If you're a lawyer today, don't sue me. But I believe a word will describe this time like no other. The word that will describe the time when the tribulation begins, the word will be chaos. Chaos. I will tell you that when I was in the earthquake in Haiti, 8 years ago when over 300,000 people died. It was just one earthquake. And one earthquake, I can tell you what was going on in the streets. It was chaos. There was looting. There were people shooting guns. They were breaking into places, stealing things. And at the same time, there were people needing help. The media will be in a frenzy to explain the possible explanation for the disappearance of millions of the population into thin air. Now let me say this. Millions of children under the age of accountability will be caught up to meet Jesus in the air without their unbelieving parents. Wow. There's going to be a harvest of young people get saved. Now you say, what's the age of accountability? That's when you know that what the cross of Calvary means. When you know that you have sinned yourself and you know that he went to that cross for your sin and you need to get saved. That is the age of accountability. It could be 12, it could be 10, it could be 8, I don't know. Or maybe like me, I think it was about 19. I don't know. I still act like a child sometimes. But you think about that a little bit. Some of you want your children to serve God. You want your grandchildren to serve God, but you will not. They will be caught up to meet Jesus without you. You think about this. The explanations that will come from the media, I believe they will be bizarre. Some of them will say, we told you about UFOs and aliens and from Roswell, New Mexico. And then I'm sure that the man with the good mustache, Geraldo Rivera, will come on and he'll have his explanation for why millions have disappeared into such thin air. And I'm sure that some will even say that God was getting rid of people that caused so much problems on this earth anyway. But I believe quickly people will go on with their lives as if nothing happened. How many remember when the hurricane hit New Orleans a few years back, and we know about all the stuff that, you know, if you're waiting for the government to help you, good luck with that one. I think we learned our lesson there. But I will tell you what I found interesting. 1 week after New Orleans is underwater, people are messed up for years from it, Bourbon Street was back in business 1 week later. It's funny how people get back to normal the things they want quickly. Listen, if you're listening to this message after the rapture, then you need to realize that you have been left behind. And maybe you have some questions today. Maybe you don't understand. Why didn't he take me? I've lived a good life. I don't understand. I was good to other people. Well, the problem is not that God rejected you, but that you rejected God by not fully committing your life to Jesus Christ and declining to follow him. You have left him no choice but to leave you behind. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Matthew 12:50, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you miss the rapture, you may ask, is there any hope for me? You may think because you missed the coming of the Lord, the rapture of the church, that you are lost forever. I'm going to be very clear, that assumption is totally wrong. Read the Bible, Revelation 13, verse 16 and 17. Now, I'm going to say something to you about Revelation 13, 16 and 17. If you want to know when the coming of the Lord is, as you read the book of Revelation, right after Revelation 3, right before Revelation 4, you will find that's when the rapture takes place. So, Revelation 13, we're in the middle of the tribulation. Also, it causes all, both small and great, great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked on the right hand or the forehead, so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark, that is the name of the beast or the number of its name. The only way you will find yourself eternally lost is by taking or receiving the mark of the beast on your right hand or forehead. Barring that, as long as you have breath in your lungs, you can gain salvation by trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Now, some of you say, why would I ever take a mark on my head or my forehead, or on my forehead or my hand? Well, let me explain it this way. When I was in Haiti, when the earthquake took place, listen, I had $8,000 in my pants pocket. Now, everybody relax. I don't have any in my pocket today. So if you're planning on robbing me after church, you're not getting much. You say, why would you have $8,000 in your pants pocket in Haiti? Well, you can't drill wells with American Express. You have to have cash. Cash is king. I got it in my pocket. Somebody said, why didn't you have it in your bag or somewhere else? I said, because if you're going to take it from me, we're going at it. That's God's money. You remember when Jesus got mad is when they tried to mess with God's money. You try to mess with God's money, we're going at it. That's good preaching right there. I want to be like Jesus, and I like that part where he went at it. All right, that's my favorite Jesus. You can have weak Jesus, but I like the feisty Jesus. All right, so anyway, I'm kind of lost here. I got $8,000 in my pants pocket. After that earthquake, the things I saw haunt me today. The things I heard, were walking around trying to help people. Buildings this size, the whole roof collapsed in one piece. You could hear people screaming. You could see people injured, and I had no way of helping. I had no bulldozer. I had no forklift. I had no front loader. I didn't even have a crowbar or a hammer. But we're trying to help people. I talked to my other buddies that are with me. I said, hey, look, I'm going to use this money. We're going to buy food to help people because they're going to need it. Because it didn't happen. Not every building went down. There'd be one up, two down, three up, two down, one up, three down. And we found some places that had food, and I'd knock on the door to, let me in, I want to buy some food, and they wouldn't sell it. I said, can I have a bottle of water? I have $8,000. I could not buy a bottle of water. Are you listening to me? You can see how the government would like to put into play the mark of the beast and how you cannot buy or sell without having that mark. Now listen to me. John 6:37, all the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. John 1:12, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Now look at Revelation chapter 7. Verse number 9, after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number. All right, from every nation, from all tribes and people and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing, glory, wisdom, and thanksgiving, giving honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Now, then one of the elders addressed me, saying, who are these clothed in white robes? And from where have they come? I said to him, sir, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, I believe, according to this, there is a huge number of people that will be saved during the tribulation. And I believe many of them will be Jews. But I'm going to go on. A word of caution is here, is in order right here. When I say that people are going to get saved during the tribulation, some people say, well, then I got a chance. You're saying I got a chance. A warning for those that refuse to give their heart to the Lord right now. If you cannot do it right now while it is so easy to serve the Lord Jesus, how are you ever going to do it in a time where the Bible calls it the Great Tribulation? He did not call it the Great Tribulation because it will be the Big Easy. What will the tribulation be like? I'm sure that there'll be church at Fountain of Life the Sunday after the rapture. And I'm sure that the church down the street and the one past that and the one past that and the one downtown and the one on the way out of town, I believe every church in Elizabeth City will have church after the rapture takes place. And there'll be some backslidden preacher that will preach, and there'll be plenty of praise band members to have a praise band. And I really think we'll have plenty of ushers to ush and plenty of deacons to deek. All the backsliders will want to serve God then, but I believe, unfortunately, the revival will be short-lived. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 through 12, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved, therefore God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Matthew 24 and 24, Jesus answers the question to those talking to him. He said, "For false Christ and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect." The two words I want to point out were the word strong delusion. God will send strong delusion. People will still love unholy living and will follow after a deception. False prophets will trick people into believing satanic lies. What will the tribulation be like? Revelation 8, verse 7 through 11. The first angel blew his trumpet, and there followed hail and fire mixed with blood. And there was, and these were thrown upon the earth. Listen, and a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. And the second angel blew his trumpet, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. The third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star fell from heaven, blazing like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. And the name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many people died from the water because it had been made bitter. This is what the tribulation will be like. It sounds like not a wonderful time, but it sounds like Satan will wreak havoc on this world. There will be intense trouble. There'll be great rebellion. There'll be affliction and distress. Time so awful that if it lasted a long time, the whole human race would be destroyed. Prophecy scholars say that in the first half of the tribulation, the first 3.5 years, that as much as 75% of the world's population will be dead, and mostly by natural disasters, and that's in the easy part of the tribulation. Listen, Ezekiel 38, verse 22 and 23, with pestilence and bloodshed, I will enter into judgment with them, and I will rain upon him and his hordes and the many people who are with him torrential rains and hailstones, fire and sulfur. So I will show my greatness and my holiness and make myself known in the eyes of many nations. Then they will know that I am the Lord. Now listen to me. We have in Oklahoma at times, we have pea-sized hail. We also then go to golf ball-sized hail. And then we sometimes have had softball-sized hail. But the Bible talks about hail coming during the tribulation the size of a Jewish talent. I looked up a Jewish talent. A Jewish talent would be about 113 pounds. Get this in your mind. I don't know what you think 113 pounds is, but cut me about in half, and I will tell you that size of can you imagine that size and that much weight coming down from the sky on your windshield, on your home? I will tell you, your roof will not handle it. The windshield not only will crack, but I'm going to tell you, it's going to destroy this earth. Revelation 16, verse 18. And there were flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a great earthquake such as there had never been since man was on the earth. So great was that earthquake. Listen to me. During the tribulation, if you are left behind, do not trust Christian leaders during the tribulation. There are going to be messages that are live or maybe even taped live after the rapture from leaders also who have been left behind. You'll see them on TV go, well, I feel good there. They were left behind too. Must not have been the rapture. We become self-assured because their favorite Christian celebrity is still on this earth. Let me just tell you something about the word celebrity. I do not think that it should be used with the word pastor. I just don't understand that. All right? Well, I watched one young man talking about how he'd become a celebrity pastor overnight. And I'm like, delete, I'm done with him. Your head's too big. We ought not think too highly of ourselves. All right? I'm not out here saying, well, I'm nothing, God's nothing, never can do nothing. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I believe He put me on this earth for a purpose. Are you understanding me? And my purpose, I'm doing it today. Somebody's getting saved in this house. Somebody's coming to the Lord. Somebody's not going to miss out on the rapture. I know why I'm here, but I'm here to tell you something. We ought to be careful thinking too highly of ourselves. All right. There'll be logical explanations people will give, but my message to those who miss the rapture is this: endure to the end. See, there will be no middle ground during the tribulation. You will either choose between two masters. You will have to choose, excuse me, between two masters, the Antichrist or Jesus Christ. The Antichrist, his number is 666. I don't know all the ramifications of that, but I do know that number 6 is the number of man, and it is simply man exalting himself above God, and that never works. God is number 1, no matter how you look at it today. Are you hearing me? And the Bible says one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I will tell you that He is Lord and you are not. Here's the unpleasant news. You think I've been giving you unpleasant news? Come on, listen here. You that miss the rapture will likely have to choose martyrdom if you wish to maintain your commitment to Jesus Christ. If you want to leave this world and not go to hell, if you miss the rapture, you'll probably have to be martyred. Revelation 13, verse 7. Also, it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. And authority was given it over every tribe and people and language and nation. We're talking about the Antichrist, and all who dwell on earth will worship it. Everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is to be taken captive, to captivity he goes. If anyone is to be slain with the sword must he be slain. Here's a call for the endurance and faith of the saints. Revelation 6, verse 9. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those that had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had borne. They cried out with a loud voice, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those that dwell on the earth? Then they were each given a white robe and to rest a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brothers who should be complete, who were to be killed as they themselves had been. Verse number 4 of Revelation 20. Then I saw thrones, and seated on them were those whom the authority to judge was committed. Also I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God. Let's look at that word beheaded. When I was a kid, we saw video, I saw a movie, a film, whatever you want to call it, called The Thief in the Night, and they showed people that missed the rapture had to give their head for the cause of Christ. It never made any sense to me. I thought in America, we don't cut people's heads off, we give you a shot. And in your old West, we hung you, but we still didn't cut your head off. Are you hearing me? But where do you think They still do this. We've seen it on our social media. We've seen the guys bent down in the orange jumpsuits with bags over their head, and then we see something that is horrific being taken place mainly in Muslim nations around the world. People are still beheaded, and I will tell you that where a lot of that's coming from is where the Antichrist and the old Roman Empire is a part of. I will tell you something. It said they were beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands, they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. When we see things like that, the Bible said there are many antichrists. They're not the antichrist, but there are many antichrists in the world today. At first, it may seem to easy to secretly follow Jesus Christ, but unfortunately, the Antichrist will require everyone to receive a mark on his hand or his forehead. Now listen to me. The price of that mark on your forehead or your hand will be your soul. It signifies your allegiance to the Antichrist. I advise you not to take the mark, because if you do, you will be eternally lost. Revelation chapter 14, I skipped a little bit. Verse number 9. And another angel, a third, followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and its image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he will also drink the wine of God's wrath, poured full strength into the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, these worshipers of the beast and its image, and whoever receives the mark of its name. Listen, in the coming days, during the tribulation period, some people will face the greatest trials they have ever had to endure. And you may ask, how long will I have to endure? Well, as time passes and the tribulation goes on, I believe the tribulation will grow more severe. And I would imagine those that miss the rapture, the coming of the Lord, and decide to live for Christ will not live to see the conclusion of the tribulation. Listen, if you're faced with a situation that requires you to lay down your life, the brief moment of pain will be nothing compared to the pleasures of an eternity in God's glory. I want to close with this verse, Matthew 10:22, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Stand with me in this place. Stand with me. I'm going to ask you not to leave unless you have to, okay? Try to stick with me right here. This is important. I preach this message and you think, well, it wasn't really for me. Well, I think it is. First of all, if it's not for you, we all have family and friends that will be left behind. But the truth is, those listening to me live today, it is not too late to be ready for Jesus' soon coming. He could come at any moment. He comes in the twinkling of an eye. He's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. Listen to me. I'm going to go back to Haiti one more time if you'll let me. That earthquake I was in, 35 seconds is all it took. 35 seconds, 300,000 people went into eternity. 35 seconds. I was sitting in a chair praying in tongues, and it was shaking. I'm holding that, and I'm going to tell you, I didn't know what else to do. But that's the first thing that came up. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. The Holy Ghost is in there, and I'm not ashamed of Him. But I'm going to tell you something. When I went and saw all the things I saw the devastation, I saw the broken homes and the lives that were that went into eternity. The lives, the people's bodies I saw crushed. The next morning, it happened right before dark. So the next morning, just outside on the road, I saw bodies lined up. Some covered, some were not. Hundreds of bodies. And it was just the beginning. I go to Haiti because I feel like I'm alive. I don't understand, but I'm a debtor to the people of Haiti. I'm alive. But I will tell you the sights that I saw it haunt me at times. And you say, I don't like the word haunt. Well, whatever. I don't even ask the Lord to help me with it because I want to see those things again. I don't want to forget. But I think about 300,000 people went into eternity. How many of them weren't ready to meet the Lord? The only consolation I have is in 35 seconds I pray. While I was praying in tongues, I pray some of them were saying, Jesus, help me. I don't know. He said, call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. That's hard for some of us because that's just the very beginning, but it might have been some of their very ending. I pray it was for many. But one thing I know about that earthquake, it took 35 seconds. When Jesus comes, he comes in the twinkling of an eye. You're not going to have 35 seconds to, Lord, forgive me my sin, help me and cleanse me, and I love you and you're my Lord. I did that in about 10 seconds. I don't know if that had got me in or not, but I don't want to wait. And are you hearing me? I had 35 seconds. But when Jesus comes, it's faster than I can blink an eye and faster than I can snap my finger. You got to be ready in advance. I'm telling you something. The Bible, I heard one preacher say, Jesus isn't coming back till the church gets going. There's no scripture for that. The angels don't know. Jesus doesn't know. That preacher doesn't know either. God knows. All I can tell you is we know he's coming soon. And in this building, I'm not asking today if you're a member of Fountain of Life. I'm not asking what you did in another revival I've been here or you did in another service with Pastor Hans or some other preacher. I'm not asking even what you plan to do before you die. I got some things to do and then I'll get right. I'm asking about right now at this moment. If that trumpet were to sound and the shout were to go up, it could have happened last night. Some of you at places that you shouldn't have been. Doing things you shouldn't have been doing. You say, why are you talking like this? Because he said an hour you think not. That's when he's coming. And evidently you didn't think about it last night. Come on. I'm being as straight as I can be. Because this preacher's son, if he'd have come many times while I was at church as a young boy, I'd have been left behind. But I'm going to tell you something. I made up my mind and made up my mind that I was not going to miss the coming of the Lord. Because I've read too much and I've seen too much. And all of you have now. You have nothing to have an excuse about. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and bow your heads in this building, please. This is not about anybody else but you. Don't worry about anybody else, what they're doing. And I'm going to ask a little backwards, and some of you need to pay attention because you'll turn the preacher off as soon as you close your eyes. You know, you've been in so many altar calls. But I'm asking you to listen because I'm asking a little backwards. How many in this place? I'm not asking if you're 98 or 99% sure you're ready for the coming of the Lord. I'm asking if you're 100% sure. He's coming back. And I will tell you, the Bible says in 1 John 5:13, you can know you have eternal life. Luke 10 says you can know your name is written in heaven. Romans 8 says you can know you're a child of God. If you're only 98 or 99% sure you're ready for his coming, I say you're 100% lost. I'm asking today, if you're 100% sure you're ready for the coming Lord, if that trumpet were to sound and the shout were to go up, you say, preacher, I'm ready today. With your eyes closed, would you just lift up your hand in the air right now? I know I'm ready, preacher. Leave it up if you know. If you're not sure, don't raise your hand. All right, you can put your hands down. Thank you for being honest. The truth is, God already knows. He has a book. But Jesus said these words. He said, if you're ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you. He said, you deny me, I will deny you. But then he goes on to say these words of mercy and grace. Thank God. If Noah found grace, you can find grace. He said these words. He that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Today's a place of mercy. In every section in this building, we had young people. We had dad. We had a mom. We had many people that did not raise their hand for whatever reason. I'm not asking you to know how to pray. But today you say, I need a fresh start. I need a new beginning. I want to be sure I'm ready for the coming of the Lord. I'm asking you to do something without hesitating right here, all right? Get some guts and some courage and step out of your seat right now and come stand here facing me. And by coming, you're saying, I do not want to be left behind, and today I'm giving my heart to the Lord. Come on.
Hey, thanks so much for listening or watching the podcast of this service. I pray the word was a great blessing to you, and I know the word enriches our lives and transforms us. Romans says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we know that comes through listening to the word and putting the word into action into our lives. You know, I was thinking just recently that the greatest decision I ever made in my life, I made when I was 16 years old. I'd only been to church a couple times, but I had a period of my life where I come under a great conviction, and God was speaking to me. I didn't know it to be the voice of God at the time, but now, all these years later, I know God was calling me. So I responded by opening up the Bible. My parents had a copy of the Bible. I'd never read the Bible. I opened it up and I began reading one of the Gospels. And as I read, the stories of Jesus leapt off the page to me. And they became so vivid and so alive in my reading. And it pushed me, it caused me to call out to God in prayer. I asked the Lord to just forgive me of all sin. I remember praying, God, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I want to serve you. I want to be a Christian, whatever that means. And that's the beginning, and it's the greatest decision I've ever made in my life. If you're not serving the Lord today, and you'd like to make that decision and have that life transformation happen to you, you can do that right now, wherever you are. If you're driving in a car, if you're at work, if you're at home listening to this, you can make that same decision and begin with a prayer. Romans 10 says that we believe with our heart, but with our mouth, confession is made to salvation. So pray this prayer with me if you want to accept Christ into your life, and say it out loud wherever you are. So pray it with me. Lord Jesus, I come before you. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sin. Wash it all away. Take the guilt away and take the pain away. Come into my life and be the Lord of my life. Sin is no longer my master. The world is no longer my master. But Lord Jesus, I receive you as my master. Help me to live this life. Help me to walk this journey. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And you can say amen right wherever you are. And you can even rejoice a little bit and say, thank you, Lord, because I believe a great transformation has happened in your life. So if you'd like to join us again on a podcast, you can do that, obviously, through our social media sites or through the website. And please let us know if you've accepted the Lord into your life. We'd love to know. There's a way to contact us on our website and so forth. So until we see you next time, or till you hear us next time, God bless, and go forth and rejoice in the freedom that Christ has given you.